Hey there, welcome to Muthonomics, episode 11, lecture 11. I want to talk today briefly about the whole concept of becoming an expert in something. It's become pretty common knowledge, especially on the internet, that if you spend 10,000 hours doing a particular activity or studying a particular subject, in 10,000 hours, you can become an expert in whatever that field or discipline is. And this has been spouted for the last 10 years or so since Malcolm Gladwell's book Outliers, where he took a study that some people did in 1993 and kind of oversimplified, I think, on a lot of fronts, their findings, and turned it into a rule that if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, you will be an expert. The authors of that original study have since come out, and they have sort of debunked Gladwell's oversimplification, and they released a book back in 2016, which, if you're interested in getting, I would recommend reading. It's called Peak, Secrets from the New Science of Expertise. And they published that back in April of 2017, so 2 years ago. And in it, they talk about how Gladwell oversimplified the mistakes he made in oversimplifying that in order to make it more saleable, marketable for him. So a couple thoughts come to mind. First, you know, it's funny how people are constantly taking other people's ideas, kind of repackaging them, and then selling them for their own benefit. I find that to be quite hysterical. And then you have a whole new market of people going and saying, trying to reclaim their ideas and saying, no, that's not what we meant. But as it relates to you, as it relates to you as an entrepreneur, as you as a creative entrepreneur, a couple points I want to make. I've alluded to it in the past. I've talked about this a little bit briefly in some other episodes that, you know, we have this, on the one hand, the culture of American business, of entrepreneurship sort of values and puts forth this ideal that we can be, we can possess the long tail. And the long tail, for those of you who are not familiar with that, is the aggregate amount of business that's comprised over a wide array of segments in different industries. And it's the long tail, which together is very powerful. And so, you know, we hear speeches like Steve Jobs' famous commencement speech, I believe at Stanford, and, you know, he's inspiring people to go and change the world and do these things. And, you know, we have these movies called Limitless with the Bradley guy, Bradley Cooper. And, you know, we value this whole notion that you can do multiple things and do, you know, many things well. But then when the reality is, when it comes down to it, the actual expectation is that you stay in your lane and that you only do one thing. And if you try to expand that skill set, you're instantly met with a lot of naysaying, a lot of doubt, a lot of concerned friends. Oh, and we summarize this negativity in our culture by using phrases like jack of all trades and, oh, they're distracted. And it's really a lose-lose, I think, for not only creative entrepreneur types, but it's also a lose-lose for the society at large, because what it does is it creates this paralysis to be efficient with our time, because we might feel an urge to explore a new topic, to take up a new hobby, to investigate a new discipline, or to go pursue a new degree. But in the back of our mind, we're hearing the societal voices say, oh, they might call me a jack of all trades. They might call me creatively distracted. They might call me unfocused. And so I think it's a lose-lose, and the net result, I think, is actually negative for society at large, because it causes us to waste time. And if you believe in free market economics, which I do wholeheartedly, you know that the scarcity of a resource is very key in making decisions. And if we're going to talk about scarcity of resources in our lives, time is right up there at the top. Time is the most scarce resource that humans have. And so to be paralyzed by fear, to not strive to become better in things that we are interested in, is really a net loss for the world. So if you are creative and you are a creative entrepreneur, my first admonition to you is you have to overcome the fear of people's naysaying. That's number one. You have to get over the fear of what you think people are going to derogatorily say to you as it relates to, oh, he's a jack of all trades, she's a jack of all trades. You have to get over that fear because it's causing you to waste time. And time is your greatest scarce resource that you have. Now, secondly, if we anchor in on Gladwell's claim, his oversimplification, supposedly, of this study from 1993, if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, he claims that it makes you a subject matter expert. And we'll just break the math down very simply on that. There's 2,080 work hours in a year if you work 40-hour weeks and take your holidays and your 2 weeks paid vacation. There's 2,080 weeks. So in just under 5 years, we'll just put it at 5 years, every 5 years, according to Gladwell's reasoning, you should develop a new expertise. And on a lot of levels, this makes sense because, you know, you think about going to college. Most people graduate college in 4 to 5 years to get their bachelor's degree, and then they move on to get a master's degree, and that takes 2, 3, 4 years. And then they go to get their PhD, and that might take anywhere from 3 to 5, 7, 8 years, depending on how complicated the material is. So it sort of makes sense to us that, okay, every 5 years or so, I should be becoming an expert or mastering a particular discipline or a particular topic. That kind of makes sense to us. And so instead of feeling overwhelmed with, wow, 10,000 hours is so much time, we should look at it as an opportunity to really become Renaissance-type people, Renaissance men, Renaissance women, where it used to be viewed as a virtue to be well-rounded, to be well-read, to be competent in several things. And that's something we've lost. We no longer refer to people as Renaissance men or Renaissance women. We refer to them as jack-of-all-trades. And it's gone from being a positive attribute to be multidisciplined to being supposedly a negative thing where we lack focus. So if you put it in those terms, you know, for instance, I've been working for 20 years. So I should be competent in 4 disciplines. Enough time has passed for me to be competent, according to Gladwell, even maybe an expert in 4 different disciplines. So that's something that you should consider, because as time passes, you have the opportunity to improve in not only your main field, but also to explore and improve in fields that are related to what you do, perhaps fields that are completely detached from what you're currently doing. And you shouldn't, if you can get over the fear of people's potential negative opinions, you really have an opportunity in front of you to employ the scarce resource of time to your benefit to become multidisciplined and multi-talented. So one, you need to get over the fear of other people's opinions. Two, you need to embrace the power of using the scarce resource of time in an efficient manner. So those are sort of the two foundational points I want to get across. The third thing I want to talk about briefly, and we'll probably close with this, is the counter study. So the people who came out, the original study authors who published that study in 1993, as I mentioned in the opening, have come out and published a book in 2016 where they talk about how Gladwell has misinterpreted this. And I think there's some very interesting, very valuable points to take away from their book, and I'll share a handful of them with you. The first one that they say is that they argue that 10,000 hours is really the baseline, the bare minimum to become good at something. So, and they say in there that, you know, we need to distinguish between being good at something, being great at something, and being the world's best at something. And obviously, the higher you climb through those tiers of excellence, the more ambiguity and intangible things come into purview. So, what separates Roger Federer from a guy that's been top 50 in the world for the last 10 years? They both put in the same amount of practice. They both travel and train very diligently and very hard. They both have desire to want to succeed and want to win. But what really separates the greatest tennis player of all time from everyone else who, from all accounts, has put in similar effort and similar time on the court? And I think that's an important point, is the intangible things that come into play as you climb through the levels of excellence are really, in a lot of ways, outside of our control. And they admit such in that book, and they come back to the fact that they say the one thing that we can control is the time. So I think that's interesting, that they say that 10,000 hours is sort of the baseline to being good, baseline to being competent, the bare minimum. So instead of saying, oh, I put 10,000 hours in, now I can check out of that topic. No, they're saying 10,000 hours is the bare minimum to be good. Then they put another threshold of 20,000 hours, which is where they have noticed that people begin to succeed sort of recognition-wise. So their reference point for all of this stuff is musicians in this elite music academy in Europe. And all the people who had gained entrance into this elite music academy had put in roughly 10,000 hours of practice leading up to getting into the academy. They make the point, though, that the musicians in the academy who then begin to succeed on a professional level, that typically doesn't happen until they've put in another 10,000 hours worth of practice inside the academy. And so it's 10,000 hours to become good enough as sort of your bare bones minimum. And then it appears to be another 10,000 hours on top of that in order to become successful in the broader realm of sort of professional musician land. And then they add another 10,000 hours on top of that for entering into starting to get into the rarefied air of the world's best. So I think both Gladwell's oversimplification as well as the original author's clarification, they're both beneficial because they both show us the power of time. They both show all of us that if we steward the scarce resource of time well, we can improve and we can become successful in a variety of disciplines. And so the question then that you need to ask yourself is, you know, where do you want to end up? Do you want to end up at the entry point? Do you want to be good at something in order to sort of meet the bare bones requirements? Do you want to move up to the 20,000 hour mark and be more successful in that particular field? And my guess is, you know, some of us might even say, well, wow, I really want to try to be the world's best. And I think that understanding those kind of three levels of excellence, those three levels of mastery, helps add a little bit more clarity to the oversimplification that Malcolm Gladwell has made. And practically speaking, as it relates to you, I think it really depends on what type of field you're in and asking yourself, what level of mastery do I want to achieve? So, for instance, for myself, with the plugins that I run, I've clearly put in over 10,000 hours worth of time into web design development, software development, plugin development. you know, I've been doing web work since 1998. So that's 20 years. So that's roughly 40,000 hours exposure to this whole, no, 40,000? Yeah, I guess so. 5 years. Yeah, 40,000 hours worth of exposure to code and browsers and FTPs and CSS and user experience and all these things that come with software development. If I step back and ask myself, am I the world's best at it? I would say no, I am not. And you know, it gets into to even defining what being the world's best means. And I think in instances like sports and professional musicians, I think it's probably a little easier to quantify because, you know, if you're the world's best tennis player, you're going to have the most Grand Slams like Roger Federer does. You're going to be number one in the world the longest. But when it comes to software development, you know, what deems you being the best? I mean, Microsoft was huge, but a lot of people bailed from Windows to Apple because the quality of Windows sucked. So even though they were the biggest in the world and had the most money of all software companies in the world, it didn't necessarily translate to the fact that their product was any good. So in some of these fields, it's harder to determine what it actually means to attain different levels of success. You could argue that one-hit wonders in music land, you know, oh, they had the biggest hit in the world. That She Bangs guy, remember that guy? Or the Gangnam Style guy. They had huge success and had hundreds and hundreds of millions of views and sold, you know, innumerable copies of their singles. So on a revenue and popularity level, they might have been deemed successful, but on a musical talent level, maybe not so much. So in a lot of these fields, you need to give a lot of thinking and a lot of consideration to what does it mean to move through these various levels of success. And you need to define what levels of success am I comfortable in. And I think doing those things are going to be beneficial to your business. They're going to be beneficial to your creative endeavors because getting over the fear is, you're going to find that to be tremendously liberating. And then having some contemplation on which other fields, which other disciplines do I want to improve in, and what other disciplines do I want to begin to move through the various levels of mastery and success in, is going to provide some clarity to not only how you spend your time, but it's also going to come back in the dividends of satisfaction in what you're doing. So I would keep both viewpoints in mind, the oversimplification as well as the original studies clarification points. But do keep in mind that every 5 years that pass, you have the opportunity to become competent in a different field. And that's working 40 hours a week. If you want to burn the midnight oil and you want to work 60-hour weeks, you have the opportunity to become competent, to get entry-level competence every just over three years. If you want to work 80-hour weeks, which I'm not suggesting, but if you want to, if you have nothing better to do and you want to work 80-hour weeks, you can become competent in a field every 2.5 years. The bottom line is we need to get over this fear of being labeled a jack of all trades and get back to the virtue that was associated with being a Renaissance man or a Renaissance woman, competent and capable in a variety of fields. And if we can do that, I think the net result for the world at large is going to transition from a negative to a positive. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Send comments, questions to send them to brandonmuth@gmail.com. Have a wonderful day.